with Japan. If three reactors are melted down, I mean, they're going to have some serious problems. And, you know, simply smiling, I don't think that's going to solve the issue. So
I think we should ask Vinny if simply smiling will solve any issues.
He's close to there. I mean, he's affected. Maybe he's already going nuts.
Hey, I'm interested to hear his opinions on this.
Sounds good.
Hey, Vinny, you're on the air, man. What's up?
Hey, Vinny.
Hello, everybody. Hey, nice to see you.
Yeah, if you can see us.
I'll wear my sunglasses at night.
Hey, no, but what were we just asking?
Do you have a camera on those? Do you have a camera on those? Is that one of those webcam eyeglasses? You know, secret Asia man?
No, this is actually because the studio lights in here are so freaking bright. I've got these four energy saver bulbs that are about the size of my head baking their cancer-causing mercury-filled radiation on me right now. I need something to protect my eyeballs.
It sounds safe,
it's a
right?
tannin show. You get a tan and you get to do the show.
Yeah, I mean, do you know what you call a Jamaican themed tanning salon?
No.
Montana.
Oh, okay. That one makes sense. Well, hey, man, it's good to have you. We're just joking around. We're talking about Fukushima and, you know, radiation and how, you know, everything's just fine. But it's good to get you on, man. We mentioned some of your prior interviews and how you're involved with alternative media and just basically spreading liberty and, you know, freedom, truth. I don't know how you want to explain it. Why don't you give yourself a little introduction, man?
I'm spreading it like a porn star. And I'm kind of starting off the show on a bit of a dirty note, aren't I? Okay, the thing about the truth movement, just learning the truth and learning that everything's a lie and there's copious quantities of scumbaggery everywhere and horrific people who hatch terrible schemes that destroy the entire planet as a whole. And when you realize that everything that you've ever been educated up through from primary school, elementary, high school, college, university, whatever, you find out that all of those things that you believed turned out to not be true, and therefore you've just spent about 20 plus years of your life wasting your freaking time. And that really pisses people off, makes them really angry, often makes them incredibly depressed and lose direction. So my show is about two things, really. Giving people perspective by listening to all these different voices from across the political spectrum and paradigm, and also making people laugh. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humor, you'll go friggin' nuts. And I often have great ease, funnily enough, talking to people who've had really terrible things that the government has done to them, whether they've had their homes burned down, whether they've been arrested without charges, whether they've been locked in solitary confinement for a couple of months for absolutely no reason. There's many, many terrible things that have happened to people. But the reason why they're still...
That sounds like a normal day here.
Yeah. That's anywhere, man, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the reason they're still sane, to a large degree, is because of this this very fact that they managed to keep a sense of humor about them amidst it all. And if you look around other talk radio show hosts who cover really, really serious issues, you know, big news-related shows, much of it's not just like we're doing here. We were just having fun, having a good time, having a few laughs and so on and so forth to keep the darkness at bay. Most of it's simply sticking your head into a toilet bowl full of crap that gets into your nose, gets into your mouth, in between the crevices in your teeth, in your ears.
Feeling.
I mean, you're literally bathing in this negativity. And it's not like that it has to be that way. It's just what sells better, isn't it? Because when people are afraid, guess what happens? They stop thinking and they start paying attention.
Mode. Right.
Whereas I feel that if you make jokes about all of these really terrible things, you actually breach that barrier. You cut through the very seriousness and the terror and the paralyzing fear, and then you start laughing, and all of a sudden your thinking process really starts to come back, and then you can really start listening. Then you can really start learning. And I think this is a lesson that most people have forgotten. It's like when you were kids, it was all about laughing. It was all about having fun. Children laugh on average about 300 to 400 times a day, whereas adults 5 to 6, maybe 10 times a day. That's yeah. not good.
Well, and see, you have to ask yourself, are you wanting people to learn, or are you trying to make people afraid? And that's a big difference, you know?
Well, maybe people just aren't funny anymore.
That could be, too. That could really be. I mean, you know, with the internet...
I don't know. I doubt that very much, guys. I doubt that very much. There is a lot of fun to be had.
Failed attempt at sarcasm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's more like laughter's kind of divine. It's something that relieves stress. So naturally, there's not much of it to be had through generated popularity and media and channels and things of that nature. You have a look at, Bill Hicks, who died in 1994, and some of the things that he was saying about making a choice, really, between fear or love. What do you want to put your attentions on? What do you want your focus to be? And if this is all just some kind of subjective experience, why would you want to spend the majority of it both being afraid and also working for people who you don't like, doing something that you don't like with your entire life? You know, it's a really tough choice to go, look, I no longer care about the system that I previously lived my entire life serving. I no longer care about it. It doesn't serve me. I'm not interested. And now I have to find my own way in the world, which is what we were supposed to do from day one anyway, but you just come into the realization a little too late, and your family start calling you conspiracy theorists, they start calling you crazy, they stop inviting you to Christmas dinners, they do all these really terrible things. I've spoken to a lot of truthers who've lost family, lost friends, lost jobs because of just speaking the truth in these general environments. It's remarkably hard to deal with. You know,
well, you know, a lot of people, though, I think over time, once they start seeing these things that come to pass, they start coming around. Like my father, you know, he thought I was nuts for about a year, but, you know, he heard it here, heard it at the gym, heard it at work, heard it from 4, 5, 6 different areas. You know, you start to think, well, maybe it isn't a conspiracy. You know, people are all over are getting this and they're waking up. And yeah, there's a lot of that, but I think speaking the truth, it comes around and gives you credibility in the end, because it's going to be undeniable because it sounded so crazy, but that's the way it ended up to, you know, becoming. Look at all the Americans that are just finding out, like, what, 3 or 4 years late, that we are running Al-Qaeda and funding them and training them and giving them weapons. Most Americans didn't know that about, like, 6 months ago. They were still in denial. They said, that's
right.
Not
denial
happening.
Is the key. I don't think people want to believe. You know, they hear people saying this or that, and they don't sit down and look at the facts. They don't go home and Google it themselves. They'd rather, you know, oh, well, they didn't repeat that to me on the news, so it must not be true, you know. But nobody, well, you're seeing it more and more, but it used to be nobody wanted to look at the facts, and now I think you are right. People are waking up, but we got a lot of work to do still, man.
Yeah, well, my objective is not to wake people up at all. I'm not really interested in waking people up. There's plenty of people who have already woken up who need just a methodology of dealing with having woken up.
Right.
That's what I'm here for. It's kind of like you have in military strategies, you have your frontline troops who go out, they fight, they kill the enemy, and then you have your backline troops, which are the medics, the people who prepare the showers and cooks and so on and so forth, so that the people on the front line, if they survive, don't freaking wind up starving to death or freezing to death or whatever after the fact. And this is what I feel is happening, is that when you start waking up and you start going out with a megaphone and filming all these people, I mean, I've got now the most popular, or rather the most subscribed YouTube channel for news in the whole country of New Zealand. Okay, this is beating up the New Zealand Herald TV, which is the second most popular news channel in New Zealand YouTube. So I'm going out there speaking the truth, talking to the activists, making sure that people actually have their voices heard. There've been some people who I've done this for who, like a good case study is Russell Malcolm. He was exposing massive corruption at what was it called? At Auckland City Council, let's just say. And as a result of him exposing massive corruption at the council, and he's done, and this is the second time. The first time he got the entire council fired, including the mayor, because they were all hip deep in it. And the second time he comes around and does this, he gets screwed around. They ask him to bribe them in order to get his contracting permits and everything go through. And he gets arrested no charges whatsoever. And in fact, he says, what charge am I arrested on? They say, oh, we haven't determined that yet. And then it turns out that the person who dictated his bail conditions after they let him out after a couple of hours was the Prime Minister himself, John Key. This is 5 weeks before the election. And he was exposing that the massive Auckland City Council, which they were just like amalgamating into this one massive council, like nine different cities become one, like the Agenda 21 protocol says.
Right.
Mega cities. We have those here in Milwaukee and Chicago. They're trying to make us a mega city.
Yeah, Mega City One. Like Judge Dredd, man.
Metropolis, right. Yeah. Like we're going to have Superman or some shit come flying
super
in.
Slave blocks.
Well, to kind of, you know, take in that more direction, you know, the similarities, I'm sure, are evident. I mean, there must have been a reason or something that got you motivated to do what you're doing today. So was it like a 9/11 like it was for me that really got me motivated? Or was it like a JFK? Was it the money system? Like what got you involved in even figuring out how the world worked truly?
To be honest, weed.
Hey, yeah, that's actually awesome.
When I was a student in Dunedin, I mean, I was selling a bit of weed, and they caught me with 13 grams. And I could have gone to jail for up to 8 years for 13 grams of cannabis. Okay, that's it's around about half an ounce, less than half an ounce.
Right.
They treat it more seriously than manslaughter. And that was a really kind of the most horrible time of my life because all these people that were coming around to buy off me that I thought were my friends or whatever, I never saw them again. All these people that I'd been living with for like a couple of months or whatever, they stole all the stuff out of my room. They stole all my equipment, my video cameras, my backpack. One of them skipped town in the middle of the night and stole my backpack and my friend's stereo system that I was holding on for him, and then blacked his name off the lease. Then cops getting busted with them, have been put in handcuffs for the first time, not being read your rights, signing a full confession, and then having them make up evidence afterwards anyway in court to make it look a hell of a lot worse than it actually was. That was kind of my introduction to the system. It told me a number of important lessons. Number one, the people that you trust aren't necessarily trustworthy. Okay, there's a ballad, a tale, was recited by a woman in this movie called Assassins with Antonio Banderas, I think. And she says there was this little bird, a little sparrow, and he's flying along in a blizzard, and he freezes solid. He falls to the ground, and a cow comes along afterwards, and cramps on him. And the crap's all nice and warm, and it thaws him out. It brings him back to life.
Aww.
But he can't get out because he's stuck. And a cat moseys on along and digs the bird out of the poo. And the bird thanks the cat, and the cat thanks the bird, and then eats him. And what's the moral of the story? Those who get you out of the crap aren't necessarily your friends. I'd been in touch with a lot of cannabis activists down there while I was there, so I started to learn about how much of a big lie the drug war was. I had assumed that because it had never killed anybody in 10,000 years, that whatever they're busting me for was a very minor offense and not worth even bothering about. And then basically I was going to go to jail for up to 8 years if I didn't get massive.
You know why that is. They know that you're going to steal the whole neighborhood's Oreos. Everyone in the city was going to be missing all their cookies all of a sudden, and they knew you'd be the guy.
I haven't seen evidence to that effect. Actually, it was because they thought that I was some big-ass drug dealer. You know, cops, right? Basically, when they're looking for something, and they've been brainwashed to think that it's big and bad and evil and all gang-related and so on and so forth, they come in expecting to find a couple of pound of like real hardcore marijuana prepared to be shipped off to children, and then it's like less than half an ounce, and they're like, oh.
But uh-oh. They still wasted all those resources.
They had half a dozen cops and a dog and three cars to confiscate 13 grams of pot.
And you know, I know it sounds ridiculous, but that kind of stuff.
Is that a good use of taxpayer money?
It happens here all the time. That happens. I know multiple friends of mine that they have been raided, and there is nothing, not a drop of anything illegal at their house. And then the cops get mad, like, where is it? Where is it? And it's like, there's nothing here. What are you doing?
They start tearing apart the place, looking for it and that kind of stuff, and they find nothing, and they don't have to replace any of your damaged goods and everything.
And I mean,
this,
guns,
is just my,
geez,
this is just my wake-up call. This was kind of like, oh, my God. See, up to that point, I believed in voting, that, you know, you could vote for anybody, and they'd make a change, so on and so forth. I believed that cops were honest. I believed that there was some kind of justice in this country. I believed in patriotic ideals of national sovereignty and so on and so forth. Almost everything that I believed in my idealistic little bubble of a world came crashing down in the space of a night, basically, you know. And it took me a whole year to recover from that. And I went, filled out my community services card. I had to do 300 hours community services, what they got me down to, because the cops hadn't advised me of my right. All my confessions wouldn't be admissible as evidence. And
so you're telling me you got 300 hours for 13 grams of pot?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, hey, you should have seen the guy in front of me.
They're tough in New Zealand.
Yeah. Well, the guy in front of me, he was up for a cultivation of 5 cannabis plants, sexual assault, and resisting arrest. He got 150 hours community service. The guy in front of him had just come out of like a heroin rehab or whatever, and he stole a jar of Craig's raspberry jam from the local BP service station, and he was ordered to repay $4.26 to repay the
restitution.
You know, and it was kind of the whole system struck me suddenly as like. Like I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I'm not a freaking idiot. And I suddenly realized just how much BS was going down, how bad it made everybody feel. I was looking around the courthouse, looking at all of these people that have been charged with BS charges or their social situations and all of this kind of thing. And I was like, you know what? There are no white-collar criminals in here. None. There ain't nobody who's stealing $1 billion or anything like that, or millions, or embezzling, or
not in a public
people.
Courtroom anyway. Jeez, yeah, you'd never see that. They meet at the Bilderberg Group.
Yeah, this is all for
young
people, ethnic minorities, and people who are a little bit older who've probably been really badly damaged by the system previously in their life, to the point where they were incapable of recovering from it and go into a lifetime of crime because of a lack of options rather than a choice. You know, you see this kind of system perpetuating itself. You're a criminal because you got a criminal conviction. And, well, hold on a second. I've got a criminal conviction. Does that mean I'm actually a criminal? What's a criminal? Isn't a criminal somebody who actually hurts somebody or damages or violates their property in some way, perhaps stealing from somebody? I thought that's what a criminal was, somebody who actually hurt people or took something from them. When I was selling cannabis, I wasn't taking anything from anybody. In fact, I was giving a whole lot away for free. I wasn't doing anything that would be, to my mind, criminal.
It's not like you were selling guns. Right.
You know, and you can make up whatever justifications you're doing. It was still illegal. I didn't realize how illegal it was or why it was illegal. And that was just kind of like my naivety coming through. I'd only just come out of high school and everything was like, yeah, I'm going to take on the world and so on and so forth. Nah, sometimes the world just gives you a kick in the teeth to make you remember that you're young and you haven't got the world figured out just yet. And I'm still young, and I still haven't got the world figured out just yet. I know that everything's BS for a start, and that's not a bad starting point.
Right. As long as you're judging from that base, I think you'll be all right. Because, you know, you're not going to fall for the average trash, let's say. I mean, scams and whatnot. If you're looking at it like, man, this is BS, but then a lot of people are like, oh, you're just negative. Well, you know, sometimes the world is what it is. You know, that's the way it is.
Yeah, if it's a fact, it's not negative or positive, it's a fact.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
I mean, negative and positive come from interpretations of things. For example, I interpret my time in Dunedin as probably the worst time in my life, and actually the best lessons I've ever learned in my life came out of that era.
right? That's a putting a positive spin on it. Had I not had my reality so violently shaken up and my life to that point utterly decimated down to like nothing, then I wouldn't have gotten the idea that there was something wrong with the world. I would have just kept on keeping on and probably never woken up. So there's a couple of ways to wake up. One is the system has to come down on you and you have to see it for what it really is. There's an old saying, how do you expose a fascist? You make them act like it. And as soon as they start acting fascist towards you, it doesn't ring. If it doesn't ring bells, there's something very, very wrong with you. And you've got your head down and you don't really care about how the world is really run. Surprisingly enough, a lot of people don't actually give a frack at all, like at all, about how the world is truly run. You ever notice that?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I mean, especially around here, yeah.
There is no globalization. There is no world conspiracy. And if there is and you don't accept it, then you're a conspiracy theorist. But if you believe in one and to begin with, you're a conspiracy theorist. I don't know how that works.
They make us into weirdos, you know, if you read the actual news or world news. That's just the way it is. And, yeah. Like, speaking of, we have this huge government shutdown that's, boiling over now. They're making this huge deal about the government shutdown. And basically, you know, nothing. You think the IRS is going to shut down? You think the NSA is going to stop spying? You think we're going to take a day off bombing Iraq and Iran?
Are they still paying the bills on the drones and the 2 billion rounds of ammo?
Right. I'm sure all these things will still occur, and you know, it's just these scare tactics. I'm sure you're aware of the government shutdown, even over in New Zealand. You haven't heard much on this?
What government shutdown?
Not shutting down. They're just taking a day off. They're all going to meet on the golf course on Monday, and they're going to throw back a few beers. Let's be honest.
Yeah, and it's just
I think they probably just snort a few lines of cocaine, more likely. The cocaine that they got in from Iran-Contra and bloody Colombia that they've been flying in with the U.S. Fire Service freaking C-130 Hercules that have been spotted all over the world, full of cocaine, full of heroin, shipping it into the United States.
Crashed airplanes with like kilos in them.
No. Well, it actually had a metric ton. One major in a, I think it was a Mexico City, U.S. Air Force base. He went on to see one of these planes, and it had $1 billion worth of cocaine on board in a big, giant black tarpaulin marked with a big seal that said "evidence." He was then found to have committed suicide by shooting himself in the head with a shotgun twice while he was asleep.
That's usual around here. I mean, these are
people's heads popping off during suicide. It's normal.
Oh yeah, it happens. It's,
yeah. Yeah. I heard this thing like this Texas cop or something like killed a black man and. It was ruled a suicide, even though the guy's arms and legs were hacked off with the chainsaw and his head cut off.
Well, he had to make sure he was dead. Yeah. You know, he wanted
and,
to make
and
sure.
His finger and his fingertips burned.
That's suicide.
And he was in a sack that was dumped into the side of the road in a ditch. So he cut his own body parts off, then chucked himself into a sack, tied it off neatly in a bow, and then hurled himself out of a moving vehicle.
I'd like to try that. I don't think it'd be very easy.
An award for that. That's got to be like the
it sounds
the
like Breaking Bad or something.
Death of the
right,
Year award
right.
or something.
He's like the Houdini of suicide.
The ultimate suicide. I mean, it's dark humor, but you got to
it's dark humor, but yet they put it down on the damn coroner report that it's a suicide. Right. I mean...
You know, I dig this, you know, like we've got our Prime Minister, right? And here's the parallels. It's very interesting between Barack Obama and John Key. John Key used to work for Wall Street at the New York Federal Reserve. Obama was financed by Wall Street. Twice as much money was spent on his campaign as the election of John McCain by the same frickin' bankers, who are all incidentally shareholders at the Federal Reserve. John Key campaigned for a blue-colored party called the National Party on the platform of change. Barack Obama, with the Blue Democratic Party, campaigned for a platform of change. Then
they both it was forward, like Adolf Hitler.
Yeah. And then in their first term in office, John Key got New Zealand into more debt than all previous presidents, all previous prime ministers in New Zealand history combined. Barack Obama gets the United States into more debt than all previous presidents combined. You see the connection here?
I'm seeing a pattern, Vinny. I'm seeing a pattern here.
The agents of the New World Order. These are the economic hitmen, as John Perkins.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, John Perkins said it best. He was an economic hitman. He read his book, apparently, if you can get a hand on it. I haven't read it yet, but I've interviewed the man, and I thought that was a one-upmanship kind of stature there. And the other element is they lie. Every single day, they lie. It's caught on camera, and then the truth comes out. Yet, here's another parallel between Barack Obama and John Key. People fracking love them. You have a look at the polls and everything like that versus competition. It's unfreaking believable. And all the people that love them, you ask them a single question, and they will not be able to answer it. Name me one piece of legislation that he's passed and explain it.
Right.
Name me one thing that he said that has come true. You know, what, you're going to close Guantanamo Bay? It's still open. You're going to pull the troops out of Iraq? There's still troops there. You're going to end foreign wars and get the lobbyists out of Washington? They're still there, bro.
He's going to take the guns.
Now that, he might actually do. But he'll do it for an opposite reason, for the reason he's doing it.
For the Federal Reserve, of course.
I'm taking the guns for the children, I'm taking the guns so that every single previous government in world history that has ever taken people's rights and access to weapons off them will brutally enslave and or murder and exterminate people.
Right, and you know, we have to stress that you're not literally saying that this is Obama's discretion. This is coming from a higher source, you know, whether it's the Fed, the elite, I don't know who's calling the shots, but they get these puppet dictator types in and they call these shots. And it's just like you said, similarities all over the world, and they get these people all on board the UN system, UN Agenda 21, global standardization, making everything's got to be equal and the same. Everybody's got to wear a white shirt. Everybody's got to have the same plug, you know.
You got to fill in your wells with cement.
I saw that LED lights. I know this has been talked about quite a bit, but I saw a great example of how LED lights can actually spy on you. I know I thought that, like, I've heard that quite a bit, but really? I saw an example last night of a guy who used LED lights to capture sound. So basically, all these new lights, all this new technology with LED can all be used to spy on you literally through light.
You think that's why the old light bulbs have been made illegal here in America?
Right,
remember,
absolutely.
They got rid of all the old light bulbs.
All they need
Your
to
light
do
bulbs
is hold
spy on you.
A solar panel towards the light. So say, okay, so basically the example
thought
he
this
gives,
was a bright idea.
Right, exactly. The guy, like a CIA guy, will stand outside your window that's just lit up from your room, and he could point the solar panel and it read your light and interpret the light into sound and basically hear anything that's going on near the light. And it sounds insane, but apparently LED lights capture sound
as
within the frequency.
As Rorschach said in the movie Watchmen, sounds unbelievable.
Right.
Probably true.
Right. And, you know, I used to think that was a conspiracy. Like, oh, how can a light bulb spy on you? It's not even connected to the internet. Well, you know, it doesn't need to be connected to the internet because light in itself encodes the sound. So that's very crazy.
There's so many different ways of surveilling people, and my perspective on this is let them watch. I'll show them things that will scare the hell out of them. I'll talk about things that will make their analysts think and go, you know what? Am I some evil scumbag serving an agent or order of even higher levels of scumbaggery than myself? Am I actually worse than the criminals that I'm supposed to be protecting my country from? Have I actually wasted my freaking life and am now 400 pounds sitting at home trolling Facebook and YouTube comment sections, abusing people for 50 cents a post? Have I actually contributed something positive to the world? Am I some form of douchebag?
I don't think people have that moral compass anymore, man. They just, like, money. Don't ask me to do that again.
How does that go again?
Money.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, the cookie monster.
We're going to start the metal show right now.
Yeah.
I'm the money monster.
That actually sounded really good.
Federal Reserve, the voice of the Federal Reserve is speaking to us.
The Obama money monster. I'm going to eat all your Federal Reserve.
Have you accepted the government into your heart? Worship the
that was
Reserve
good. That is getting monster. Clipped out. I'm using the Obama money monster. That is
the
getting
Obama
used.
Obama money monster. Nice.
In fact, we should do a run fundraising. Instead of doing money bombs, we should do money monsters, you know?
Everybody donate to me and my cause against exposure to New World Order. Give me your money.
If you talk like that all day, dude, you'd have the number one show in New Zealand.
See, unfortunately, at this point, I'm the only one show in New Zealand that covers this kind of discourse is the problem. Well, at least the only one doing it 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, plus all my, you know, guest spots on other people's radio programs and so on.
Which
so
we
forth.
Appreciate. Thank you, by the way.
Yeah, well, the reason why I'm the first New Zealander to be given an American-based talk radio show on American Freedom Radio is because I'm the first New Zealander that somebody's come across that actually knows a hell of a lot more about America than most Americans do, you know? And the reason I know this is because I've been listening to a lot of American talk radio show hosts, and I figured out early on in the piece, oh my God, everything they're talking about that's going on in America, the exact same thing, or rather the exact same pattern, the exact same fractal is being replicated down here in New Zealand. Isn't that interesting? All of our presidents and politicians all belong to like the same groups, think tanks, so on and so forth. That's not something that's isolated to America. Americans are very insulated because of the focus. America's such a very large country. You've got a large population. There's so much going on. There's a huge quantity of scumbaggery. Very few people are well-traveled. There's not a whole lot of outside influence really being put in there. It's kind of like the national movement of kind of being egocentric, if you know what I mean. Like, that's the one thing that I find is very debilitating to Americans, is that there's not quite enough foreign information flooding into the country, because the mainstream media networks are all controlled by a foreigner, Rupert Murdoch, who makes sure that you don't realize that there's a whole global syndicate going on here that is working its same frickin' schemes.
Just look at the Times Magazine.
Idiocracy here in America.
Idiocracy. Look at Times Magazine. Everywhere else in the world will have Putin on the cover, except America, we have college football. Yeah. You know, it's like...
And not that he's a great guy, but sounded more like the Nobel Peace Prize nominee than Obama did, and that's what's scary. I mean, if the only people you can get to help you out in Syria are the people who flew airplanes into your buildings here, that's pretty
sad. If you believe the official story.
Yeah, but there's no evidence there, I mean, besides in every, you know, major newspaper, news source.
The point is, they said it was Al-Qaeda, and now we're funding Al-Qaeda. Yeah. Right? Right? I mean, right.
Funding Al-Qaeda since day one.
We created
America, it. The Americans didn't realize it until like 3 years ago.
Most database is what the word Al-Qaeda means, or something like that.
The home, the list or something,
names of
right.
the Mujahideen, the holy fighters in Afghanistan who were killing the Russians for them, and they were shipping in Stinger missiles so they could shoot down attack helicopters. There's a movie about it called Charlie Wilson's War. And what's interesting is there's a quote, a little story in Charlie Wilson's War that Philip Seymour Hoffman gives Tom Hanks, and he says, "Oh, do you ever hear the story about the Zen master?" Like, no, Zen master. Okay, well, this boy he finds his horse on the side of the road one time, and he comes back to his village with it, riding in on it, and the whole village goes, "Oh my goodness, this is so wonderful! You found a horse. It'll be great. You know, it'll work out fabulous." And the Zen master says, "We'll see." And then later on, he's riding his horse and he falls off and he breaks his leg. And everybody says, "Oh, isn't it terrible? He fell off his new horse and broke his leg." What's the Zen master say?
He's got another one.
"We'll see." And then later on, a bunch of soldiers come into the village and they start forcing people to join the military service, except he can't join because he's got a broken leg. And everybody says, "Oh, isn't that fortunate? He didn't have to go to the forced military service and get exterminated because he had a broken leg." And what's the Zen master say? "We'll see." Think about it, ladies and gentlemen. Everything that happens to you that's really bad or really good,
you don't really know what it actually is until you see later on. Everything leads one thing to another. And this was where we get into the Syria situation. So we've invaded Afghanistan. We've invaded Iraq. We've invaded Libya. And now we're going to invade Syria. And I've probably left out a whole bunch of other, like, 50-something nations that the United States has invaded since World War II.
Or
the
bombed. Last
time actually declared war, you know.
You're a conspiracy theorist.
Okay. And now, Syria is the deal. All right, so what have we got? We've got our U.S.-funded forces called Al-Qaeda, which we made up in the 80s to fight our enemies at the time, the Russians, bombing people with chemical weapons, and this has been exposed in the media, that happen to be potassium fluoride and sodium fluoride, those chemical weapons, which we incidentally add to the water supply in municipalities, because it's good for your teeth. Chemical weapons are good for your teeth. You heard it here second.
Do you fluoride in New Zealand, by the way? Do they do?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, they fluoridate the water.
And they got to make sure that you're dumb, like in the Nazi camps when they use fluoride.
Well, did you know that every single NATO base in Europe has its own self-contained water fluoridation system?
Oh,
even
good.
Even though fluoride is banned in the whole of Europe, all right? Same with all the prisons as well, and it's the same here in New Zealand. There are only one military base and one prison in New Zealand that don't have their own self-contained fluoridating system. And what I find very interesting about that is it's almost like they want to keep their soldiers and the people that serve them and so on and so forth dumbed down so they don't realize that they're part of some mega death machine. I could be wrong. That's just a theory of speculation on my part. But anyway, back to Syria. $700 billion. All right. How does that sound to you? Would you like $700 billion? Of course
you
would.
Yes, sir.
Israel found a $700 billion plus, that's a very conservative estimate, by the way, of natural gas under their little country. And in order to get the money recouped back from that, they would need to build a pipeline up to Europe through, you guessed it, Syria.
Right.
And so now Syria's allegedly going to be invaded by the devilish West. And I think that it'll be just like Afghanistan, just like Iraq. It'll be about resource control. It's the only reason why they invade countries is because they got resources, strategic resources that they can tap and or keep under wraps, especially somebody who starts trading gold for oil, like Libya was about to do before they got invaded by Rothschild bankers. Incidentally, Al-Qaeda was in Libya, and I think the first two companies that they set up for their new government were a private central bank and a private oil company, which had both previously been government-owned. Oil was cheap as chips. It was like 11 cents a liter or something of that nature. That's like
over there to the people, right?
That's like 30 cents a gallon, right. Okay? Something ridiculous like that. And then on top of that, you have some of the most profound reconstruction projects that you could really ever conceive of. You heard about the Great Underground River? They built this. Okay, Libya's like a desert country, North Africa, right?
Wait, you're talking about Libya, right? Right.
Yeah.
Right, right. They built the awesome river. I forget what it's called. Aqueduct.
Yeah. All right. So now they're able to grow crops in the desert.
Right.
And if you wanted to become a farmer, the government gave you all the tools you needed, your tractors and so on and so forth, so that you can go and establish your farm right away. If you get married, the government gives you a big chunk of money so that you can put a down payment on your first home. If you buy a car, the government pays for half of it. If you get sick, the government pays for all your medical attention. And if the medical attention is not specialized and they don't have the resources available in Libya to give you said medical attention, they pay for you and your family to fly to another country and pay for all your medical treatment there. If you wanted to go to if you wanted to go to university, the government would pay for your tuition in another country with something like $700 a week to live off or whatever.
You can't have people giving out education and farmland. That's terrible. especially under UN Agenda 21.
Charging interest on loans was illegal. Illegal in Libya. You could not make money out of loaning people money.
Not to mention his currency that he wanted to start, and that
the
was
gold dinar.
Right, right. So that's a
gold-backed currency. So it sort of voids the whole fiat system.
Before I forget,
the most sophisticated airport in northern Africa. Now that incredibly sophisticated airport is being used by NATO,
right,
as a projected command and control model for the entire North Africa region for AFRICOR and AFRICOM.
AFRICOM, exactly, right. Which is a huge agenda. You know, Sudan, Somalia, they're going into all of it. There's been covert operations. Africa has been a prize fought over for a long time with the elite. But I want to go back to Syria, too.
Let's not forget what Kissinger said about Africa, that it's a top priority to depopulate the third world countries. You know?
Right, then nobody can resist. Right, and then back to the pipeline was actually being built. I forgot the exact name of it, but it was being built to like 2001, and they were going to run it right through Syria from Iraq, and when the war started in 2001, that's when the pipeline, I believe right around that time frame, fell through, and ever since then, relations with Syria have dissipated, and you know, is where we are today, you know. So it's been in the works to get in there. They just, you know, had to make sure it was safe, you know. They had to get everywhere taken over around there.
Yeah, it's a serious situation, no doubt, and for the condition for the people in there is very sad indeed.
Right, very Assad indeed. No, Vinny, we only have like 5 minutes left with you, so I want to make sure. I mean, we've talked about lots of awesome stuff. We could go on for hours talking about. We didn't even get into tons of stuff.
The Fukushima, even.
Right, and you know, all kinds of stuff.
You losing your hair yet?
he's a little south of there, so he might be under the current. You know, I think that's all coming our direction.
Well, actually, all the currents and all the trade winds and everything like that blow most of the radiation your way. So right. I should ask you the same question.
Right. No, we're not doing too well up top. But I want to make sure you give out all the links where people can find you, your show. Tell us what time it's on, if you know approximately.
If I know when my own show is on.
In America, you know what I mean. So go ahead and let us know, man.
Okie dokie. So the first website you can go to is thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's thevinnyeastwoodshow.com because I'm the only Vinny Eastwood. It's me. It's Vinny. And the Vinny is spelt with a Y because it's the most important question. And Eastwood as in go ahead, make my news. Nice. And 5 days a week on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, you can listen to us broadcasting live 5 till 7 Central, 3 till 5 Pacific, 6 till 8 p.m. Eastern. If you're across the Atlantic in the Uber Kingdom, the time will be 11 p.m. till 1 a.m. And in New Zealand, because we're ahead of the curve and we're broadcasting live from the future, it's in fact Tuesday through Saturday, a day ahead of the clock, on 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. And you can listen live at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We have rebroadcasting through a number of networks around the world, a couple in New Zealand and a couple elsewhere. You can look up Rush FM, Ifinity FM, and American Freedom Radio for more details on that. And my YouTube channel is youtube.com/Vincent Eastwood. That's youtube.com/Vincent Eastwood. You can check out Vinny Eastwood on Facebook. If you search for me on there, it should be able to find me. Always adding new friends all the time. You know, feel free to message me if you have a guest suggestion or whatever. And the other element that I want to stress here, which is the most important, really, and a lot of activists don't like to do this, but I'm kind of shameless like that. Donations, subscriptions, needing that regular income in from the listeners, viewers, and so on and so forth is incredibly key to the continued survival of my project, The Vinny Eastwood Show, as well as realguerrillamedia.com. I'm going out, I'm interviewing the activists, I've put more New Zealand activists on air than any other entity in New Zealand media history, in fact, all of them, really, combined, in terms of the amount of minutes that they've gotten on air and how many different voices, how many different faces. This is the thing that I do for the world. I make sure that those who need the coverage, who have very important stories to tell us, actually get it. I make sure that they're broadcasted live on radio. I make sure that they're recorded on video and put up on YouTube for public consumption. So if you want to know something that you didn't know yesterday, tune into the Vinnie Eastwood Show 5 days a week. Seriously, 5 days a week. You will learn something geometrically grand during every single broadcast.
That's a promise.
That's a sales pitch right there.
Yeah, and the thing is, most people bury their head in one particular subject matter or one particular radio show host or whatever, because they're all talking the same stuff pretty much all the time. I'm the direct opposite of that. I'm talking about different stuff every single show, so that once you've listened for a couple of months, I've had people call me up who've been listening to radio for 20, 30 odd years, and they say, Vinny, in the past 6 months, I've learned more off your radio show than I have in the last 20 years listening to regular talkback radio.
We've been hearing that a lot lately, yeah. Where people are just becoming more educated, listening to alternative media, alternative talk radios, YouTube, you know, and not watching trash. I'm talking about legitimate, good information. And Vinny, you know, I found you randomly. I've been seeing you around, so it's awesome that you were able to come on our show and hang out, you know, because I've been seeing you around for over a year now. It's just we're finally at the platform where now you could come visit us, and hopefully we get you back on again and we go into some more topics. You know, it's just good to have you on, man.
Yeah, I'll also do a switcheroony as well, and I'll have you guys come on my show. But we'll organize that next week when I come back from my break, because I'm actually going to be leading a protest on this coming Saturday. It's the very first mainstream protest that I've ever had the honor to lead against our national government. And when they asked me to lead this, because, you know, nobody else really wanted to take it on, too afraid of the commitments, I don't know. But I said, if we're doing this, we're doing it my way. And we're getting some really hardcore activists who are going to tell people things that will just freak them out about what this government is really doing to people, and hopefully give them the jolt that they need in order to get active and expose the scumbaggery within.
Well, happy Halloween and then get out of there.
I have faith in you, Vinny, and I hope your protest goes well, man. So anytime, you're welcome back. Vinny Eastwood of the Vinny Eastwood Show. We'll have all the links and stuff in the description. It's great to have you on, man. Have a good night.
Very good.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good one.